Inspector West. Calling Chief Inspector West.
Stand by for West. A crime file based on John Creasy's novel, Inspector West at Home, dramatized for radio by Maurice Travers. Inspector West at Home, starring Patrick Allen as Chief Inspector Roger West of Scotland Yard, and Sarah Lawson as his wife, Janet. Part 3, Fear in Flat 9.
Chelsea, 1492.
Is that Chief Inspector West?
Yes, who's that?
I've got a little message for you, Inspector.
Who's speaking?
Never mind about that. It's a message concerning your wife.
What?
Didn't she ought to be home by now? I reckon if I was you, I'd be wondering where she's got to.
What the hell? Who are you?
That don't matter. But your missus matters, doesn't she?
What's happened to her?
Ah, now that'd be telling, wouldn't it?
Look, what have you done to her?
That's all for now, Inspector. Bye-bye.
Jan. Oh, if anything's happened. Oh, come on, answer it, damn you.
Scotland Yard.
Oh, this is Chief Inspector West.
Yes, Inspector.
Put me through to Detective Inspector Cornish. And make it snappy, will you?
Yes, Inspector. Just a moment.
Oh, come on, come on. Hello? Hello?
I'm sorry, Chief Inspector. I'm getting no answer from his office.
Well, find him. Find where Bob Cornish is and tell him to call me back immediately. You understand? I'm at my home and there's no time to be wasted. Oh, damn and blast him. Where the devil's he got to? Hello? Oh, Bob, thank the Lord. I've been waiting for over half an hour. What taxi driver? Oh, well, forget about that for a minute. Listen, Bob, you were with my wife this morning. Yes, in a coffee bar. I want to know what time she left you. About 11:30. You're sure? I see, thanks. Oh, she's just a bit late getting home. Now, what was that about the cab driver? You've traced him? Okay, let's have his name and address. Good, I've got it. Nice work. Oh, that's the door. It might be Jan. Bye, Bob. Jana. Oh, it's only you, Mark.
Only me. Well, there's a nice thing.
Come in.
Roger, is something wrong? You've got a face like a thundercloud.
Mark, it's Jan.
What's happened?
Well, let's go into the living room. I'll tell you as much as I know about it. Oh, whoever's cooked up this caper, they really are to make a thorough job of it, aren't they?
Yes. Someone's certainly keen to see you in trouble.
And the worst kind for a copper. Taking bribes. Oh, it's a nice, tidy little frame-up. First, the £1,000 planted in this house, then the gentleman in the taxi slipping that envelope into my pocket, and those 7 payments Jan was supposed to have made to the Mid-Union Bank.
Well, at least that's been cleared up.
Only partly.
What? But you said both the cashiers admitted they'd never seen Janet before.
True, but there's still the other woman to find. The one who pretended to be Jan and made the payments. No, but that's for later. Right now, I'm calling the yard. I'm going to talk to the assistant commissioner.
What about?
I want a general alarm put out for Jan.
Now, wait a minute.
Sir Guy Chatworth may have had me suspended from duty, but he can't refuse me this.
Give it a bit longer, Roger. If you get Chatworth to put out an alarm, and the next minute Janet just walks in the door, well, you'll be less popular with him than you are already.
She won't just walk in the door, Mark. Can't you understand? She's been grabbed. Oh, and if any harm's come to her, so help me, I'll get whoever did it if it takes me the rest of my life. And when I do, I'll break their necks with my own hands.
Easy now, take it easy, Roger. Look, let's sit down for a few minutes. I haven't had a chance to tell you what I found out about Joe Leach and his murder.
Well, I can wait. There are a couple of things I haven't told you either, but they can all wait. I'm getting on to chat with.
All right. If your mind's made up.
I'll take it. Chelsea, 1492.
Roger.
Jan. Oh, thank God to hear your voice.
Is she okay?
Oh, Roger,
Jan,
darling.
Jan, are you all right? You're not hurt?
No. No, I'm all right, but I don't think I've ever been so scared.
Well, where are you? What happened?
I'm in Chertsey.
Chertsey?
Good heavens.
Jan, tell me what happened.
Well, I was walking through St. James's Park when these two men came up to me. They threatened me and made me go with them. They said I had to do as I was told if I didn't want to get hurt.
Yes, go on.
It was incredible, really. All those people all around, and I just had to walk between them. They took me to a car and made me get in. They drove off, and then they... Well, they didn't say another word. Every time I tried to speak, I was told to shut up. It was terrifying. I didn't know what they were going to do with me, but when we got here, to Chertsey, they stopped the car.
And then what?
Well, nothing.
What do you mean, nothing?
But, just what I say. They told me to get out of the car, and then they drove away.
Drove away, just like that?
I started walking till I found the railway station.
Oh, right. Oh, I tell you what. You get the next train. I'll check the time and meet you at Waterloo, okay?
Yes, all right. Oh, I feel a lot better now I've talked to you.
Ah, there's my girl. Well, I'll be waiting on the platform, Jan, love. Bye.
And I'm afraid that's about the best description of them that I can give you, Roger.
Well, it's something to go on.
But what I can't understand is why they did it.
For my benefit, Jan.
Your benefit? Oh, you mean as some sort of warning?
That's it. Our friends, whoever they are, laid on this little demonstration to show me they can make you do a disappearing trick any time they feel like it.
Oh.
Jan, I've got an idea. I think you should go up to Gloucestershire.
What?
Well, stay with the boys for the rest of their school holidays. Well, your cousin would be glad to have you. And, well, there's nothing Martin and Richard would like better, is there?
Oh, no. You can put that idea right out of your head this minute.
Now, listen, Jan.
No, I said... If you imagine I'm going off and leaving you at a time like this...
Look, darling.
After 12 years of marriage, if you don't know me better than that, well, you should. Look, I'm staying here and there's nothing more to be said. Now, take me home to Bell Street. What I want more than anything else at this moment is a good, hot cup of tea. Oh, that's better. A cup of tea works wonders.
Good. Now, it's upstairs with you, my girl. You're going to lie down for a bit.
I'm not going to lie down. I'm fine. I'm home and I'm fine.
A rest wouldn't do any harm, Janet.
Oh, for goodness sake, Mark, stop fussing over me. You're like a couple of old hens, a pair of you.
Upsa-daisy, sorry.
Anyway, there's a lot I have to be brought up to date on, isn't there?
Not just you, Janet. Roger and I haven't had a chance to compare notes either.
Well, all the better.
Mark, you haven't heard anything from Pep Morgan yet, I take it?
No, but he'll be busy chasing it up, right enough.
Mm. No, what's this? If you two are going to be cryptic, how am I supposed to know what's going on? Now, what will your personal private inquiry agent be chasing up, may I ask?
The taxi driver. The one who took me to the yard last night.
Then you've tracked him down?
Well, Bob Cornish did, as he promised. He got the name and address. I rang Pep about it before I left to pick you up.
So now we cross our fingers and hope the driver can remember where he dropped the chap Roger shared the cab with.
You're really certain, Roger, that he was the one who put the bribery note into your pocket?
Well, it couldn't have been anyone else. And I've got to find him, Jan. He's the only link to whoever's behind this whole frame-up. And the reason for him.
Well, surely not the only link.
I'm afraid he is.
Well, what about that man Mark was going to see? What's his name? You know, that police informant. The one who tipped off the yard about the money that had been planted here in the house.
Joe Leach, Esquire.
He won't give any more information to the police or to anyone else. He's been murdered, Jan.
Murdered?
Yes. He was found shot in the flat above his betting shop.
What did you get out of the local coppers, Mark?
Very little. Even with your name as a password.
Mm.
Haven't they any idea who killed him?
Oh, yes, they've got ideas, but no evidence, Janet. They seem to favour a character by the name of Malone.
Oh, who's he?
He's rather a tough customer, from what I can gather. He runs a mob of strong-arm boys in the area.
Malone. Mm-mm. Now, that doesn't ring any bells with me.
Well, according to the police there, he's the big wheel behind the local protection racket. But they've never been able to pin anything on him. He's known popularly as the Whistler. Apparently it's a habit of his.
The Whistler?
Hmm.
And he operates in the AZ division. I'll have to ask Bob Cornish. That was his old patch before he got transferred to the yard. I wonder.
You wonder what?
Well, on the face of it, it's too damn small a thing to read anything into it, but...
Roger, You're going cryptic again.
Come on. You can't whet our curiosity and just leave it at that.
Well, I was thinking of the Micklejohn case, if you must know.
Oh, yes. Well, I'm no wiser. What exactly was the Micklejohn case?
It happened before all this bribe trouble began. The night you were here, actually, Mark, your first night back in London, Bob Cornish and I found a man named Micklejohn dead in his flat. It all ended up with a difference of opinion between Superintendent Abbott and myself. Abbott won. Went down as suicide.
What makes you think of that now?
Well, this character Mark's just mentioned, the Whistler.
How come?
Well, we talked to all of Micklejohn's neighbors. They all said they heard nothing except one. An old chap in the flat next door. Now, he thought he heard someone whistling.
Ah, you mean to say you think...
Well, I can't exactly jump to any conclusions about it, Mark. I mentioned it in my report. Abbott didn't even think it was worth considering. Just the same, I'll have a word with Bob Cornish about this whistler Malone.
Oh, shall I?
No, I'll get it. Chelsea 1492.
Roger, Pep Morgan here.
Pep, what luck, old son? Any news?
Yeah, I managed to see your taxi driver.
Well, did he remember where he set down the man who shared the cab with me? He was going to Piccadilly, he said.
Yeah, well, he changed his mind then, didn't he?
Huh?
According to the driver, he got out at the end of Welbeck Street.
Welbeck Street? I don't suppose he saw where the fellow went by any chance.
Yes, as it happens, he did. Into one of the houses.
Is that so? Pep, I'll meet you at the end of Welbeck Street in half an hour, let's say. Okay with you?
Sure, yes, but Roger, it's a bit of a wild goose chase, isn't it?
It might be. On the other hand, it might not. In half an hour, Pep, bye. Mark, you stay here with Jan like a good chap, will you?
Right.
I don't want her left alone.
Oh, now, Roger.
Don't argue with me. I haven't got time.
I get the impression that there's some special significance about Welbeck Street. Would I be right?
Perhaps. While Jan was going through the identification business at the bank this morning and, you were following up the Joe Leach thing.
Yeah.
I had a visitor here.
Oh, yes. You mentioned that to me over the phone. A woman, you said.
A lady, I said. And a very elegant specimen of the species. Mrs. Raymond Fleming. She wanted you to lend your services to her organization, Jan, the European Relief and Assistance Society. She's the president. She gave me her card, and as it so happens, their offices are...
Are in Welbeck Street?
Exactly. Could be just a coincidence, of course, but it could also be something a good deal more. That's what I'm off to find out. That'll be the next house along, Kurt.
Yeah.
Here we are. Now, this is it, right enough, see? On the board there.
Oh, yeah. European Relief and Assistance Society, ground floor.
Oh, come on. Inquiries. Right, Pep, you stay put here. I'll go in, and we'll see what we'll see.
Afternoon, sir.
Well, now fancy that.
What did you say?
And good afternoon to you too, young lady.
Is there something I can do to help you?
Well, I think there very probably is.
Yes, sir?
I wonder if you'd take £250 in notes and deposit the amount to my account at the Mid-Union Bank. My name is West.
I don't understand.
Oh, I'm sure you do. It's quite a simple thing to do, isn't it? And you've already done it 7 times before, haven't you?
I don't know what you're talking about.
Yes, your appearance certainly comes close enough to that of my wife. For a general description, anyway.
I'm afraid you're making some kind of mistake.
You know, the cashiers at the bank will be able to identify you.
I've no idea what you mean. Now, if you have any proper business here, will you please say what it is or go away?
Lois, my dear.
Mr. Pickrell.
Well, and who have we here?
Is anything the matter?
Not any longer.
I beg your pardon? Is there something we can do for you, sir?
Well, suppose we put that the other way around. Is there something I can do for you? Such as letting you share another taxi with me, for instance?
I'm afraid I don't follow you.
You did last night. In Sloane Square, Mr. Pickerel, is it? Yes. We rode together in a taxi as far as Scotland Yard.
My dear sir, I'm afraid you must be confusing me with someone else. I was at home last night, the entire evening, with friends.
Oh, is that a fact?
A demonstrable fact, sir. And now I must ask you to leave. The young lady and I have work to do. We're very busy.
All right, sir. If you insist.
I do. Come into my office, please, Lewis. I have a letter to dictate.
Yes, of course.
But don't be surprised if you see me again, will you? Goodbye. Pat.
Right here, Roger. Well, what happened?
Well, I think I've set the cat among the pigeons. Nip in there, Pat. See if you can hear what's being said in the inner office. Now, if anyone comes out, you've come to the wrong shop, something like that.
Right here, then.
I'll wait for you out in the street. Go on. In you go. Quickly.
Roger.
Well, how'd you make out, Pep?
Chief Inspector, we've hit the jackpot. That's the girl who paid the login to the bank, all right?
I knew it the moment I saw her. What do you hear?
Well, the geezer, I couldn't catch all of it, but the bird, her name's Lois Randall.
Mm.
Oh, I've got her address for you, too.
Good.
She's left her handbag on the desk, so I took a quick butcher's inside. Anyway, you've put the wind up her and no error.
Have I? Good.
Well, I don't know so much about that, Roger.
What do you mean?
Well, the geezer tried to calm her down at first, but when that didn't work... He started putting the frighteners on her.
Did he?
Yeah. He told her she'd better behave herself. You know, obey orders. or she knew what he could do to her. You know, I felt a bit sorry for her. Don't ask me why, but I did. Sounds to me like he's got her well under the cosh.
In that case, the sooner we take charge of her, the better, for her sake as well as mine. Now that I've got your evidence, too, we should be able to get her to talk. And that just might break the whole business wide open.
In one stroke, eh?
Yes. Pep, get to a phone. Call the yard. Ask for Bob Cornish. Oh, if he's not there, you'll have to talk to Alan.
Oh, the voice of doom. He gives me the willies. I hope I can get on to your friend Cornish.
Just get moving.
What about you?
Well, I'm going back for another word with the girl. Off you go, Pep. Get cracking. Oh, excuse me, Miss Randall.
Go away.
I've come back to give you a piece of advice. Now, don't take any more risks. Get out of this mess you're in before it's too late. I'm prepared to help you, Miss Randall.
I don't know what you mean. Go away.
Look, don't play games, girl. You're in trouble.
Go, please.
And you're scared stiff. That sticks out like a sore thumb. I've said I'll help you. I know what happened here after I went. I know what Pickerel said to you.
Do you really, Mr. West? I'm afraid you're rather an impetuous man.
And you're a stupid one. Put that gun down.
It seems that we'll have to reach an understanding, you and I. Lois, go into my office.
But...
Do as I say, my dear.
Yes, all right.
You're only making matters worse for yourself, Pickerel.
Follow, Miss Randall. And don't think of doing anything reckless. I'm quite prepared to use this gun if I have to, I assure you. Into my office, please. Now, we must clarify the situation.
It's clear enough. And I warn you, Pickerel...
But you're in no position to deliver warnings. You no longer have any official authority, as I understand it. You've been suspended from duty.
Oh? And just how do you happen to know that?
It's not important. Stand over by the filing cabinet, please. Lois, you come here by me.
All right.
Now, first of all, Mr. West, how did you find this address?
Our mutual taxi driver was traced, Pickerel. That's what led me here.
Is that the full truth?
Why shouldn't it be?
It was only because of the taxi driver, nothing else.
I've just told you so, haven't I? Now, I'll tell you something else. You can't get away with it, Pickerel, gun or no gun.
Oh, but I can. Because you don't appreciate the whole position. Let me sum it up for you. You think Miss Randall might be persuaded to clear you of suspicion about the payments made to your bank, and so allow you to regain your standing at Scotland Yard. I'm afraid you must think again, Mr. West.
Must I?
Miss Randall may have been the messenger, but someone must have given her the money. Correct?
Correct.
If she is questioned, she will say it was you, Mr. West. Isn't that so, Lewis? Answer me, my dear. And remember what you have at stake. Mr. West seems to think you're in some kind of danger. But you know that nothing can happen to you, so long as you obey instructions. And you will, won't you?
Yes. Yes, I will.
Thank you. So you see, Mr. West...
I see.
I don't altogether understand how you still happen to be at liberty, but if Miss Randall were to make a statement along the lines I have indicated, you certainly wouldn't remain so for very much longer.
Lois...
Stay where you are, West.
All right, all right. Listen to me, Lois. I don't know what hold this man has over you, but I hope you realize that perjury is a serious offense.
She takes her orders from me.
Like the man who grabbed my wife today? Was that done on your instructions, too? Was it, Pickerel?
I said don't move. Unless you want a bullet.
Please... Please do as he says.
I thought that little incident of your wife might have taught you something. But perhaps now you have a more complete understanding of your circumstances. There's nothing you can do against me, Mr. West. Your only course is to forget all about your visit to these offices. Otherwise, you will find yourself in far greater difficulties than those you have experienced already.
You've made one mistake. A bad mistake, Pickerel.
Really? And what might that be?
You assume that I was the only one who overheard your conversation with Lois.
That's what you told her?
It was a slight inaccuracy. Hmm? It was someone else entirely who overheard the two of you.
What?
Now, I'll admit that as things are, my own word against Miss Randall's might not carry much weight, but an independent witness is quite another matter.
West, if you imagine you can bluff me...
That's no bluff. And as for you, Lois, I think when you find your false evidence can be demolished, you'll come to your senses and tell the whole truth.
Take no notice of him. He's lying.
Am I?
Roger.
Who's that?
Roger. You inside there?
Please come in.
Well, everything's under control. Stone me.
This is your witness, I take it. Shut the door. I said, shut it.
What's all this, then?
Get over there, beside West. And don't try any tricks.
Sir, that gun won't help you, chummy. The coppers are on their way.
The police?
I got onto the yard all right, Roger.
Good man. I don't believe it. You're bluffing.
Not when there's a pistol pointed at me, mate.
Lewis, the bottom left-hand drawer of my desk. There are papers in it.
Yes.
Quickly. Give them to me. All of them.
Okay.
Now, empty that waste paper bin on the floor. Pile on everything from the top of the desk as well. Now, set fire to them. Here.
He's bonkers.
Pickerel, you can't start a
Shut
fire
up.
In here.
Go on, girl. Do as you're told.
Yes.
Light it. Now, get out of here, Lewis. Go on. Go.
You fool.
Stay where you are.
Damn it, man. You'll have the whole place on fire.
Don't move. Either of you. And don't try to come after me or I'll shoot. I mean it.
Cab, see what you can do about the fire. I'll get Pickerel.
No, you won't. You leave him to me.
Cab, come back.
I'm at the smaller car.
Come back here. Pep, come back. Pep!
Come on, now. Come on, stand well back there, please. Well, you've all seen an ambulance before, haven't you? Keep back, please.
Ah, Pep, how is it, old son?
The doc says I'll live.
Well, you'd better. Rushing off like that after Pickerel.
Yeah, well, if I hadn't, you would have. Then you'd have copped it. Anyhow, now, what's a bullet in the leg between friends, eh? Roger, he got away, didn't he, that Pickerel geezer?
Yes, he got away. Bob Cornish and his lads arrived just too late.
Excuse me, sir. Got to get the patient in the ambulance now.
Oh, yes, of course, yes. Anything you'd like in hospital, Pep?
Yeah, just a couple of dolly nurses, that's all. Okay, you blokes. Heave away. No, wait a bit. No, hold on.
What's wrong, Pep?
Roger, I didn't give you her address, did I? That Lois Randall bird, I mean.
Oh.
It's flat 9, 23 Chapel Street, St. John's Wood.
23 Chapel Street, thanks. And all the panic, I forgot about that.
Yeah, I don't know how you're going to get on without me and no error. Rightio, blokes. Now I'm ready for the blood wagon. Shove me in.
Chelsea 1492. Jan, it's me.
Roger, thank goodness you phoned. Mark and I are on tenterhooks here. What's been going on?
Oh, plenty. But it'll take too long to tell it all now. I just wanted you to know that I found the man who shared that taxi with me.
You did? Oh, good work, darling.
Not so good, Jan. He got away again. But I've been on to Superintendent Abbott. A general alarm has gone out for the gentleman.
Well, he's sure to be caught then, isn't he?
Yeah, I hope so. Oh, I also found the young lady who impersonated you at the bank.
But, Roger, that's marvelous. That means you're clear to the whole frame-up, bribery, everything, once and for all.
Not quite. I've got to produce that girl. And she's done a disappearing act, too.
So there's an alarm out for her as well?
No, I didn't tell Abbott about her.
Why on earth not?
Well, that's part of the long story. The point is, Jan, I'm still no nearer to finding out what's behind all this. I've got the girl's address. I'm on my way there now. Bye.
I tell you, there's nothing wrong. Why can't you believe me?
Because I'm not blind, Lois, that's why.
For heaven's sake, Bill.
But you're in a hell of a state, and I want another reason.
Please don't keep on about it.
Look, I'll keep on until I get it out of you. But for the love of Mike, what else do you expect? We're supposed to be engaged, Lois. I go to a lot of trouble to organize a spot of leave just so that I can get down from Scotland to see you. And what happens?
Bill, please.
You wouldn't even open a door to me till I'd told you who it was. Now, what the heck's been going on, girl? What are you scared of?
Will you leave me alone, Bill? Why can't you stop asking questions?
I've got to ask them. Lois, if you won't tell me what's the matter, how can I help you?
You can't help me. No one can help me. Bill!
Someone at the door. Well, aren't you going to see who it is?
No.
Lois,
why? No, it might be...
It might be who? All right. I'm going to see who's there.
No, don't open it. Please, Bill, don't open it.
Yes?
Not him.
Do you mind if I come in?
That depends. Who are you?
He's a policeman. He came to the office this morning. Oh, send him away, Bill. I won't say anything. Send him away.
You heard the lady. You'd better be going.
I don't know who you are, but I suggest you take it easy. Miss Randall is in a lot of trouble, and threatening noises from you aren't likely to help matters. Suppose we shut this door, first of all.
Why did you let him in? Bill, I told you...
Calm down, Lois. I can handle this.
My name is West, Chief Inspector West of Scotland Yard, and you are...
I'm Bill Tennant, Lois's fiancé.
Right, Mr. Tennant. Now, you'd better understand that I'm here in a private capacity. I'm not on duty. My inquiries at Lois's office today were not official. She can help me. And I'm hoping she will.
No. Send him away, Bill.
Oh, surely you're not frightened of the police, Lois.
She's even more frightened of someone else. Who did you think it was when I rang the bell, Lois? Did you think it was Pickle?
No, I thought it was...
Well, who were you going to say?
No one.
Oh, Chief Inspector, what is all this about? I can't get any sense out of Lois.
She's in trouble, Mr. Tennant, and because of her, so am I. She's been persuaded to contribute towards ruining my reputation at the Yard.
I don't believe it. Lois!
You shouldn't have opened the door. I told you not to.
But you didn't know I was ringing the bell. And you didn't think it was Pickerel, so who were you frightened of, Lois?
No one. I told you, no one at all. Why can't you leave me alone? Why can't you...
What is it?
Can't you hear?
So that's who it is. The Whistler. That's who you're afraid of. Whistler Malone.
Yes. And he's here now. Outside that door.
You've been listening to Patrick Allen and Sarah Lawson in the third part of Inspector West at Home by John Creasy. Listen to A Call from the Whistler, the next episode of John Fawcett Wilson's production of Inspector West at Home.